Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Coast.
All right, hour two of Coast to Coast. I'm Pharrell, along with Carver High and the crew. And I just wanted to say, Carver High, that, you know, I think the Giants can win that game. I just feel like that number's the difference. It might be a 1 or a 2-point game, 3 at most, so it would push. I don't deny that you're 7-2. No one could have thought in the world that that was going to happen this year for the G-men. But Dable's done a great job, and they handled their business against the Texans. And now they're taking on, I think, a team that's a lot better than the Texans. And, you know, if it wasn't for the way Houston got down and had to kick field goals, they might have very well covered that number of 5 or whatever it was. It was those two late field goals where they were just trying to get another score. That's the way that thing played out. I think the Lions, you know, they were down 24-10 and they stole that game from the Bears. I'm not going to sit here and say they're not good because they have qualities. They have shown signs of progress. I won't deny. I think Campbell's done a good job with the Lions.
And remember, both of those teams are playing on Thanksgiving. And the Lions, you know, they do this every year. They always lose on Thanksgiving. We get that. Giants are in Dallas on Thanksgiving. You know, they're having a good year. They're kind of in the mix. Division rival, playoff chase. I could see a small look ahead for the Giants with the Cowboys coming on next Thursday on Thanksgiving. With the Lions in their house on Sunday. So I'd be careful of that.
But that game, as well. The Thanksgiving game's in Dallas because they already beat them in Meadowlands.
Yes, yes.
I think they'll beat them again in Dallas.
I do as well. I do as well. The Rams are going to be without Cooper Kupp. Surgery on the ankle, going on IR. And honestly, like the way the Rams season's going, there's no point in bringing him back. So you just put him in the cupboard, Scotty, for next year. You go let him get healthy. He's finished. On the other side, they're playing the Saints this week. They're finished is right. They're playing the Saints this week, also finished. I'm not even going to play Dennis Allen because I'm tired of listening to him. Winston's still not 100%. Then why is he dressed on the sideline as the backup if he's not 100%? So he's a moron too. The Saints are 4-point favorites against the Rams Sunday in New Orleans, Scotty.
I do not trust the Saints as far as they could spit to cover anything, let alone 4 points. Now, I agree with you. We both know the Rams season is over. It's over. It's done. Kaput. It doesn't matter what anyone says, whether it's McVay or otherwise, it's over. Their season's done. Their best player's done. Their quarterback is beat up and shot, and they're the worst Super Bowl champions we've seen in years. They are phonies. They are complete chumps. They're not beating anybody. They're not getting into the playoffs. They're not getting a wild card. They're not doing anything. So I don't want anything to do with this game.
Me either. This game is a complete stay away from me. Both these teams are having awful seasons. Major snowstorm expected to hit Buffalo this weekend. The Bills are hosting the Browns on Sunday at 1. I saw the total on BetMGM, Scotty, go from 47 to 43. Fairly quickly earlier this afternoon. So that's something for us to keep our eye on. I'm just going to say this to you, because this is the one thing that makes me nervous. The Bills should beat the Browns on Sunday. We know that. I hope the snow's out of there. I'm a little nervous because if there's one thing the Browns do actually do well, they're good at running the football. The Bills suck at running the football. That would be the thing that kind of would make me a little nervous if it's like some kind of, you know, snow game, you can't throw the ball, things like that. I'd be a little nervous from a Bills aspect if that was the case. But hopefully all the snow's out of there by 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know about that. When you get 2 feet of snow, you got a problem on your hands. That is a lot of snow. And listen, let's just calm down. The Browns are putrid. Everyone puts 40 on them. They're awful. They have no running game. I've heard about how great their running game is. If it's so great, how come they never win? I know they beat the Bengals. They always beat the Bengals, but they don't beat anybody else. The Bills will rake on Sunday against the Browns, and even if they have to throw snowballs at them to do it, the Bills will roll the Browns like a gigantic blunt.
I hope that that happens. I could see the fans throwing snowballs at the Browns. Sometimes that happens. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast, SiriusXM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. Tua passed Allen in the MVP odds. I'm going to save that for tomorrow, Scotty, because we always do that Wednesdays on the Lion's Share. We will do all the award updates and all the futures, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I'll give you those numbers tomorrow. Here is some NFL betting updates now with 10 weeks already in the books. Underdog, Scotty, how about 60-89-1 straight up? That's plus 18 units right there. Against the spread, 58%, 85-62-3. Underdogs of 3 or more points, 58-31, 65% against the spread. The dogs, Scotty, have been getting it done through 10 weeks of the NFL season.
I mean, that is crazy. Send me that clip. I got to have that in my pocket when I'm making bets.
I got a couple other things for you. Our weekly look at the best and the worst teams against the spread, the overs, unders, etc. Then we will get into the NBA, a couple games tonight that we have to discuss.
Oh, there's huge games tonight, baby.
There is huge games tonight. We will come back. We got the Lion's Share also this hour, where we dive into all of the college football games for this coming week. We got more on Coast.
I'll tell you what, I can't wait to see Luka tonight against the Clippers.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, let's go through this bevy of best, worst, this, that, spreads, overs, unders, you name it.
Yeah, let's start with the best teams against the spread through 10 weeks in the NFL season. Two teams stand out, Scotty. That is the Giants and the Titans, both 7-2 against the spread. And remember that Titans, it's actually 7 in a row, Scotty. They lost that week one game to the Giants. They got blown out week two against the Bills. So they've covered 7 in a row. Cowboys, Jets, Bengals, Chargers, all 6-3. Patriots 5-3-1 against the spread.
Yeah, and then you wonder if the Titans will handle their business Thursday night in Lambeau after the Packers allegedly turned their season around. I think Green Bay got lucky, and I think they earned it with the help of the refs. And I think now people think they've turned it around and they're going to start winning. And we'll see, because I still don't think they're going to the playoffs.
The worst teams against the number so far, Jaguars and Saints, are 3-7 against the spread. The Rams are 2-6-1, Bucks 3-6-1. And then you got the Broncos and the Raiders who are 3-6 against the spread, and are actually much worse than that in real life.
Well, what have you done for me lately? Because, the Bucs covered against Seattle, and that's all that matters to me. I'm sitting there looking at it going, if they're so awful, then how come they covered against the Seahawks in Germany? So whatever. That's a culmination of the whole season. Not what have you done last week? What are you doing right now?
Best teams to the over. We love POINTS, 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 even though they've been very hard to come by this year. Eagles, Browns, Lions, all 6-3 to the over. Bears, 6-4 to the over so far this year.
So 47% of the games are overs is basically more unders. That's it.
Oh, yeah. Unders are at 59% this year, Scotty. You just saw there. Overs are at 41%. Unders are at 59%. A lot of teams good against the under, of course, with those numbers. You're thinking 60% of the games are under? So the Broncos 8-1, Colts and Bucks 8-2 to the under, Giants, Titans, Bills 7-2 to the under. A lot of teams, Scotty. You play the underside so far this year. Very profitable for you.
I mean, like, it's almost, you know, you're looking at almost half the league.
Almost half the league. It has been that good. Will it change in the second half, down the stretch? Will we start to see more points? Time will tell, as they like to say. Odds to win the AFC. Bills are still the favorite at plus 200. Chiefs plus 230. Then the Ravens, then the Dolphins, Bengals, Titans. As you see there, Scotty, highest ticket percentage, Bills at 16%. Highest handle percentage, the Chiefs at 18%.
Yeah, I can't crown anyone on November 15th, so all that's just a waste of time.
And same thing with the NFC. Eagles are there, 49ers, Vikings, the teams that you were talking about earlier. They are right there behind them, Cowboys and Bucks. Bucks still getting 7-1 right there. Eagles highest ticket, 49ers highest handle as we hit week 11.
Yeah, I'll keel over if the Buccaneers win the NFC. I really will. There's no way that you can be that average and win the whole thing. It's just not happening. I think you're still looking at those top four teams. Someone from that group's going to win it.
I agree with you on that. Bill Belichick had some time to sit around this weekend. The Pats were on the bye. So yesterday he said he wants rule change so coaches can always challenge plays. As you know, last 2 minutes in overtime, coaches cannot challenge. He, I think, specifically is referencing the Gabe Davis catch in the Bill right. Viking game, which did not get challenged there in the final 2 minutes, which
he didn't catch.
That would have been he did not catch it. Would have been a booth review. The coach was not allowed to challenge it, and away they went. Nobody ever looked at anything.
I think they need to put a time limit on it, Mike. I just think it's ridiculous how long it takes. It should be 90 seconds. Get it over with. Make your mind up. Like, who in their right mind needs 5 minutes for every single replay? It's just ridiculous.
There's some things that I still can't figure out. They can replay. They can't replay. Like, I know you can't replay a lot of flags. Like, you should be able to replay. I mean, that guy Goddard got his head ripped off with a face mask last night, and they missed it. I don't know how all of them out on the field missed it, but that's the kind of situation where, you know, you should be able to challenge something like that. The Juju hit as well. That should have been challengeable, that the guy got his head absolutely taken off. Raiders having an awful year. Will they bring back Carr next year, Scotty? I say yes. Carr being back with the Raiders.
You know, I just think that's still up in the air. I think he's had a long run there, and really one playoff game is what it boils down to. I don't know how many he's been in, but not many. I can only think of, I thought that they gave the Bengals the best game of anyone last year in the playoffs besides losing the Super Bowl because, you know, they made bad decisions. I stand by that I feel like they should have thrown the ball to Higgins on third and fourth down in the Super Bowl. They would have won the Super Bowl. I think Zach Taylor made bad choices, and that's what happens. If you think too much and you analytics too much and all this other nonsense, when you got a guy that's made every catch in the game and he's gone upstairs for all of them and he's caught two touchdowns and you don't go back to him, when you're in third and fourth and one and you don't go to him, you deserve to lose. So I thought they blew it, but all things being equal, who knows?
I think a lot will depend on how badly they finish the season. If they continue to lose every single game and they have one of the two or three first picks in the draft, and maybe McDaniels absolutely loves one of these quarterbacks coming out and wants to start fresh with one of them, I could see it happening. They win some games and they're not close to that. I think he'll bring Carr back. I think it's going to depend on how the rest of the season goes.
I think it's close to not bringing him back. I mean, they have seen a sample size like no other. He has been there, and he has been running the Raiders for a while now with really nothing to show for it. That's the bottom line. Now, some people would blame other areas of neglect. They have all kinds of issues. I don't think he's the primary problem. I think they have much bigger issues than Derek Carr. But I think Derek Carr's been there long enough without success that it has to be, you know, a really smart front office would finally have someone stand up in the room and say, I mean, the bottom line is the guy hasn't got it done.
We do have to also probably throw in there, I think that part of Adams going there and getting a big commitment was he wanted to play with Carr. Not saying that Adams has the kind of juice that he can make decisions for the Raiders, but part of the reason why you brought that guy there and gave him all that money was to team up with Carr. I think it would be tough to throw that away after 1 year. I think they need at least a couple bites of the apple with Carr and Adams.
Fair enough, but there's also the side of the reasoning that would say, we just gave you a ton of money, shut up.
Yes, that's exactly always there. Speaking of tons of money, Odell Beckham Jr. suing Nike, says company owes him $20 million in an endorsement contract. When's he signing?
Prove
Let's
it.
Go. Get the OBJ stuff going. Can the guy pick a team already, Scotty? Let's go here.
I don't think it's going to be the Rams. Because he wants
gonna be the
Rams,
win,
and they're not going anywhere. So I think you can cross him off the list. I mean, some people say he doesn't want to play in cold weather, and I think that's girly man stuff. I think
I
that he
that.
Will play wherever he has a chance to win another ring.
I still think that you got to put Dallas very high in the clubhouse for a lot of reasons.
And Buffalo.
That's for sure. I think Buffalo is in there as well. And a lot of people are clamoring for him now after a couple losses. They think that they need
what
more.
What does he have to play there for a month? And then he's out of there. He's in Costa Rica in a month.
I know. We will come back with the Lion's Share. College Football Tuesday on the Lion's Share. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
So you can get a risk-free play up to $1,000 at BetMGM if you just use the bonus code COAST2COAST. Who's not getting in on that? Like, there's got to be something wrong with you. Just get on the BetMGM app. $1,000 risk-free play. All you'd have to do is put in the bonus code COAST2COAST and you're silent. All right, it's time for the Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM Carver High, and it's Tuesday. That means college football is in the air.
Yeah, I always love the Lion's Share on Tuesday, Scotty, because it gets me all juiced up for the big college football matchups this weekend as we get a little bit closer to the end of the season. The new college football playoff rankings will come out later tonight. When they do, I expect TCU, of course, Scotty, as we all do, to still be in the top four after the win at Texas. They are undefeated. They are 10-0. And this week, they're in Waco against Baylor, trying to keep the season rolling. They are laying 3 on the road in Waco against the Bears, who got whacked by Kansas State last week.
How's that not an indicator of where, Baylor is right now? I mean, at home in Waco, they got beat by 28 points by Kansas State, and TCU is better than Kansas State, and everybody knows it. So TCU should go into Waco and beat Baylor. That's all there is to it. I don't know. They're not going to play as bad as they did against K-State. I would think they're going to have a rough week of practice, but that doesn't mean they're going to win.
You know, this is two very tricky weeks for TCU coming up, Scotty. You know, they're through all the other quote-unquote heavies in the Big 12 this year. I mean, they've beaten them all. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, they've beaten everybody. Texas last week. Baylor and Iowa State to finish out their regular season before they get to the Big 12 title game. They have to take care of business in those two spots. I think that they will in Waco coming up this Saturday. Pac-12 now, kind of like a semifinal couple of matchups. The winners of these games will kind of be in the driver's seat to go to the Pac-12 title game. Unfortunately, with a couple of losses last week, they'd all be vying for a college football playoff spot. But only USC, Scotty, has a shot at that. They're in Pasadena Saturday night to take on UCLA. Right now, the Trojans -1.5, the favorites. Last year, Chip Kelly and UCLA put a 60-burger on them and beat them by 40. Does USC keep their playoff hopes alive?
Yeah, I mean, what's that total? 75.5? What is it?
75.5. Yep.
Yeah, and I think they'll hit it. I think they'll go over that. I do. I think it's going to be wild because I don't think USC plays defense. I really don't. I mean,
they don't.
Everyone they play puts 35 on them. So, I mean, I'm on the over. I don't even care about anything else. Give me the over and just hope that it's a wild game. But if I were to guess today, I would say USC based on, for me, UCLA's season went down the drain on Saturday at the Rose Bowl when they lost to Arizona. I don't know how you recover from it. I really don't.
I don't know either. I'm with you. I think the over is the best possible way to look at this game. In the other big Pac-12 game, this one a late-nighter, the old bailout blowout, 10:30 p.m. Eastern kick in Eugene at Autzen for the Ducks and the Utes, Scotty. Ducks -3. Two things to look at here. You brought it up yesterday. Ducks going to lose 2 weeks in a row, both at home on their field. But I keep going back to last year, and I know it's last year's team. Utah embarrassed them twice. Regular season at Rice-Eccles, Pac-12 title game, both times thumped them. 38-7, 38-10 in both games. Man, those guys that are still on that Oregon team, they got to be thinking of that this week, right?
I think you're right. And one of the keys is that neither of those games were at Autzen and Eugene, and this one is. So I just have a hard time really absorbing them losing two in a row at that place. That is a den of iniquity. You go there, you lose. That was a huge bet that I made with Washington on Saturday. I can't believe they won. I can believe they covered the 12, but that they won there is crazy. So I think Utah is playing as good as Oregon is, and Oregon just lost. So I think Utah can beat them, but I have my druthers that they will. I think that Oregon will respond to losing to Washington, their rival, by bouncing back and beating Utah. I don't see them losing two in a row at home.
Illinois, after everybody propping them up, they got ranked, their driver's seat to win the Big Ten West. They've now lost a couple of weeks in a row, some in quite embarrassing fashion. This week, they go to the Big House to take on Michigan. We know what they have their sights set on, and that is next Saturday in Columbus against the Buckeyes. Wolverines got to get through this first, laying 17.5 with the Illini in town.
Yeah, you know, the difference is that, like, Oregon, you play at Autzen, you have your problems. Champaign-Urbana is not exactly Autzen Stadium, okay? So they lost two in a row at home, and I'm really not that surprised that they lost two in a row at home. But Michigan is licking their chops for next Saturday in Columbus, and they do not want to F this up. They're going to find a way to beat Illinois come hell or high water on Saturday at the Big House. Now, that number is very big against a running team that has a defense. I would not be surprised at all if Illinois covers the number, but Michigan wins, and they have bigger fish to fry. So I do not believe that this is the tuna steak that they're talking about eating for dinner. They want to beat Ohio State.
The Irish play their final game of the season in South Bend, Scotty. They have Boston College coming to town. Now, they have responded from some early season losses, but this spread situation is not one that the Irish have been very good at this season. When the Irish are favored by 3 or less or are dogs, they're undefeated. When the Irish are favored by more than 3 points, they have not covered a spread all year. They are laying 21 to Boston College on Saturday, and I will take the 21, Scotty.
Yeah, like you know, took the 17 with Navy, and they covered. They lost by 3. Boston College beat North Carolina State in Raleigh. I know they're awful, but they woke up on Saturday on the road and ruined North Carolina State's season, and they would love nothing more than to give Notre Dame a game at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. It's just way too many points. They've played them over the years tough. I cannot give anyone Notre Dame plays, three touchdowns. They couldn't handle Marshall. They couldn't handle Stanford. They couldn't handle Navy. I don't see them handling Boston College big.
Yep, haven't been able to cover these big spreads all year. They'll win the game. They're not going to cover the 21. UCF out of the American, Scotty, in the driver's seat for that group of six, or a group of five, I should say, New Year's Six bowl bid. They have Navy coming to the Bounce House in Orlando on Saturday afternoon. 16.5 for UCF.
I mean, UCF wins the game. I have doubts on the 16 and a hook based on the triple option. It's a problem. They get first downs. They control the clock. They control the ball. They move the chains. Navy did it to Notre Dame. I mean, if you can push Notre Dame around, why can't you play with Central Florida and Orlando? It's too many points.
Georgia, number one, undefeated, as they continue to streak towards the SEC title game and the college football playoff. They have to make a stop in Lexington on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern kick. 22.5, Georgia on the road. They took care of business in Mississippi State last week. Back-to-back road games. Can they cover big number again?
You know, my guess is yes, to be honest with you, because, yeah. I mean, Vanderbilt just slept with all their girlfriends. I mean, they went into Lexington and beat them, and they haven't won a game in 25 years. I mean, they couldn't beat Vanderbilt. What are they going to do with Georgia going up and down the field on them? I got to think Bulldogs.
Same situation we talked about with Michigan before. Ohio State, their minds are on next Saturday, but they have to get through this week first. A stop in College Park for them against the Terps, laying almost four tutties, 27.5. The Buckeyes, the road favorites against Maryland.
Yeah, look, didn't they just get whacked by Penn State by 30 to nothing or something like that?
Yes.
But, yes. You know, I got to tell you, the game was in Beaver Stadium. It wasn't in College Park. And I think that number might be a little juicy for Ohio State going to College Park. I think the kid Tagovailoa is decent. I mean, that back door is going to be left wide open. She going to leave that door unlocked all night, isn't she?
Miami has had a really bad year. They are at Clemson this week as the Tigers look to keep moving towards the ACC title game. 19.5 for Clemson at home against Miami.
You know, I think Clemson should handle Miami relatively easily. Miami's suddenly winning games against crappy teams, okay?
Yep.
So now, like, beating Virginia is not that big of a deal. They beat them 14-12. They're embarrassing. They are not playing, you know, Virginia this week. You know, I think that they have a shot to go in there and get whacked by Clemson in Death Valley.
Last one I'm going to give you quickly. Tennessee threw a huge number on last week against Missouri. Another big number, 21.5 against South Carolina. I think they cover it again on the road.
Yeah, South Carolina's running out of gas. I mean, the red light's on. They need to pull over and get gas fast or they're going to be walking. Their season's over.
The Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We always like to hook up with Sports Talk Matt Perrault in Vegas from Bostonian and the Book. What a great show, as I've clamored about it in the past on this show. And I've told you how I feel about it. I like doing the show. I've had a lot of fun on that show, being me, as opposed to the phony person you see now in front of you.
Sheriffin asked me, are you coming on the show tomorrow? The first thing he said was, you have to go ahead, go on there, and you got to ask Pharrell, is he coming on tomorrow? You coming on tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know about tomorrow, but I'm always open for doing it if I can do it. Like, I don't have anything – against doing it. I just am super busy, and I try to always be accommodating with you guys because I think very highly of both of you, and I mean that. I think you guys are great. I think you guys are funny, and I think that Sharapan is sick in the head, and I like that about you guys, so I always like doing the show. I have more fun on that show than the only other show I've had more fun on in my life, I would just be honest, I'm going to tell you, is when I used to do Bubba's show. So
really?
Bubba the Love Sponge, well, when I was on with Bubba, you know, it was really funny. I mean, like, I couldn't even get through it. It was so funny, and it was really demented and, you know, evil and unholy. It's a lot different than your show. But, you know, there's guys now that do shows from that cast of characters from the Bubba, the Love Sponge days when I was on with Bubba and Howard Stern. So you have to understand, like, there was like this bond between all of us that was magnificent. But the Cluster Fereller show that they do now, which was one of his producers, he does a show called the Cluster Show, and it is really sick in the head funny. But you guys still top shelf status with me. Now I know every time you come on here I ask you stupid questions about and by the way, congratulations on if you will, in my view, a massive promotion, because you guys are now on at midnight to 2 Eastern with Bostonian for the Book on Sports Grid TV, and that is magnificent news, because I know that people maybe hadn't seen it before or had never heard it because of the time it was on. They were all candy ass in bed with mommy and their little binky, but now they can actually watch you do your thing. And I think it's going to be a huge hit. So congrats to you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. We really love the opportunity that we have now. And people, it's 9 o'clock on the West Coast, midnight Eastern. So there's been people just in the last week who have never seen the show reach out, you know, DMing and sending text messages going like, wait, you guys are on Sports Grid? We're like, yeah, we've been there since July. So it is a whole new audience. And when we were told last or 2 weeks ago that it was happening, we were both, Dave and I, were really excited. So we appreciate it. Our brigade that we call them, the BVB Brigade, loves you. You are our highest rated guest. You are our most commented on guest. You are the one that literally people just, I mean, we don't talk. We just let you go. It's the easiest segment ever for us. We just go, here, have the floor. And we, Dave and I, just sit back and watch you go. So it is an absolute joy when you are on.
Well, it's because you guys let me be me. And that's really who I am. And everything else is not real. So I have to, like, be different on this show and on In-Game Live All Access. I have to be in some level of control. And on your show, I get to be me again, which is, and like when I did radio for these people, I just was, it was so phony. It wasn't even funny. It wasn't me. I mean, that's not me. Like that was worse than, you know, doing, you know, terrestrial radio for me, which was for, you know, back in the day, like back in the day when I had to be clean and every word that came out of my mouth, I was in trouble. I was constantly getting yanked into some loser's office, getting the beat down from some tool program director I wanted to smack in the face. I hated it. I hated it. And then when I went to satellite radio and I got to do Howard Stern, that was really me at the fullest. And I got to be me. And then so since that ended, I've never been able to get my rocks off doing radio at all. And then going on your show and being me for a half an hour is better than sex for me, because I miss being me, and I've never been able to be me when I had to be clean. Being clean sucks. And radio that's clean sucks. And that's just all there is to it. And if you don't agree with that, have a ham sandwich, because it is. Fans want the real deal. That's all there is to it. And you guys,
well,
are
you all, I mean, and I'll say this though, like not only when you came on, you were amazing. You always have been amazing, but you, it's incredible. People have actually reached out to me. You talked a lot about your health and things that you went through. Now you made very graphic descriptions of the things that were going on with your body, which were incredible, but like you did a whole PSA on men's health and why they should go and get a colonoscopy and why they need to be watching that part of their body and their prostate. And whatnot. So like, it was phenomenal. Like it was literally like Dave and I were like for like 20 minutes after you were done, we were talking about the fact that like yes, you're being hysterically funny, but there's a lot of kernels of really important information that you were giving there that I was like, you know what? I bet a guy did it. And a guy went, he DM'd me and said, I went to schedule a proctology exam after Scott came on your show. So you are
it's important. It's really important. I've lost a lot of friends to cancer, and I lost my mother to cancer. I lost my best friend. I've had multiple friends with colon cancer, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer. I've had friends with testicular cancer. And so I always encourage everybody to take care of themselves. The silent killer, it's bad news. And if you don't do it every year, and if you don't get checked, and if you don't, you know, man up and get a PSA, and you don't man up and get a colonoscopy, then get ready to meet your worst nightmare, because it's going to hit you when you least expect it. So, but let me ask you about something that's, you know, every time you come on, I talk to you about Vegas. I hope it doesn't bother you. I want to ask you, because we've been talking about Carr and about whether he'll last. I think that Josh is going to last for a couple years at the least. I don't think he's getting fired. I think that, you know, you got Mark talking about all the games are close, you know, close and checkers. I don't have time for, but they're losing a lot. But we were asking earlier about, will Carr survive this and be there next year? And do you think that it's already beyond reproach with the fans in Las Vegas and Josh McDaniels? Have they already made him the most wanted man in Nevada dead? They want him dead. Like, he's already the worst coach ever. They hate him dead and want him gone. Is that true?
I don't know if it's true, except that the fan base has really soured on him quickly. And it doesn't help that the Vegas Golden Knights are, what, 13-3 right now? So, I mean, they've got, you know, they're raking right now, and they're doing incredible. And they got a new first-year head coach in Bruce Cassidy. So, like, that's a problem for the Raiders that they're 2-7. I don't know why Mark Davis went as forcefully yesterday and said he's doing a fantastic job. That word bothered me. But I think what they're going to do, speaking of Carr, I think they're going to tank. I think they're going to draft either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, have Derek Carr be a one-year quarterback with the kid learning behind, and then Derek Carr will be out here in Vegas after next season. So I think that's how you keep Josh around for 2 or 3 years, and he inherited Derek Carr. I don't think he really wants to go long-term with Derek Carr, and that creates all questions with Waller and Adams and everybody else who's on that offense, Renfro and whatnot. But I think your read is right. I mean, I do think that the clock is ticking on Derek Carr. If no other reason, it's a great excuse for Josh McDaniels to say, hey, I got a rookie coming. You got to give me time.
So let me, on the note of the Knights, I have been winning money with them on a consistent basis. They are fantastic to bet on. And they have made me, I mean, thousands. I cannot believe how good they are. And I thought Jack Eichel going back to Buffalo and literally having sex with the entire city on their dime was just the best thing I've seen in hockey in a while. There's nothing better than the, oh, you remember me, all right. Take a good look at this game I'm going to give you. Not only that, he had a 90-foot empty netter between about 14 legs. And that was the ultimate facial.
Oh, it was incredible because of what happened the year prior when he went there, and things were awful and he looked awful and the team didn't play, you know, well at all. And now he goes back with the hottest team outside of the Boston Bruins and go up there, do what he did. And now Vegas, I mean, tonight, I mean, I'm on them on the puck line tonight against San Jose. I got it last night at -105. It's, you know, a little more expensive now to come in and bet on it. But I mean, this offense is incredibly difficult just to stop or slow down. They play really fast and they're healthy. This is the key to last year. They were so hurt. Mark Stone is back playing incredibly well. They've got defensemen who now can play and aren't banged up. Vegas is dangerous, and I tell you what, if it's the Bruins and the Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Finals, I don't know what to do, because those are my two teams, and I'm going to be all twisted up as to who am I pulling for to win the Cup, but probably still the Bruins. But the Knights are a lot of fun to bet on.
Well, they're great. Both teams are really good. There's no denying. I think the check line in Boston is sickening, and I think that it's amazing to me, Matt, that the Knights have a third line that's better than most teams' top line. That's when you know you have a great team. When your third line is better than 80% of the top lines in the league.
I think it's wild that how undervalued the Knights are to win the Stanley Cup right now on that point. Like, everyone just assumes that Colorado is going to repeat. Like, oh, yeah, it's theirs. Well, I still think that Vegas is going to be incredibly dangerous and difficult to deal with in the postseason. If they get goaltending, and so far they've gotten decent goaltending, if this continues for them, their offense, like you mentioned, they're going to roll three lines out at you and they can beat you on the power play. The PK is pretty good. It's a lot of fun to watch. And if you haven't gone to a Vegas Golden Knights game yet, it is such an incredible experience. It's so different than anywhere else in the league. I've been in games all over America. I haven't gone to a game in Canada, but I've been to NHL games all over the country. There's just nothing like a Golden Knights home game.
I've been to every arena in the league except, I've been to the Key, but not for a hockey game, right? I've been there for NBA. But let me say this, that the press box there is fantastic. And I saw Carver High and Mafia both behaving poorly in that press box. I mean, the amount of chocolate that Carver High put in his face with M&Ms and the amount of food and popcorn that Mafia put in his face over a three-hour period was disgusting. It was unbelievable. Their behavior was appalling. Even the media dinner just constantly going back for seconds, thirds, fourths. I've never seen anything like these two guys. You'd think they were going to the electric chair. One last question. Will UNLV cover tonight against Dayton at the MAC?
No, I don't believe so.
They're doing a blackout.
They're doing a blackout.
Hold on. How did that chick, I hate politics, but how did that chick win that that race? Did she take Clark County? Is that how she won that Senate?
Yes.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. She
hundreds
stole it, right?
Hundreds of people. Thousands of ballots came in on day of, dropped off in person. When I was in line, 30 people came in and did it. Almost all of them were Democratic votes. That's why she won.
She was supposed to lose, and she won that that thing, and everyone thinks it's corrupt. I hate everyone. I just wanted to say that. I hate all the people involved in politics, everyone. Matt,
tomorrow,
I love you. Congrats on the promotion.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Anytime.
I'll get a hold of you guys tomorrow at some point.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, I know, Mafia, that I was a bad boy and dirty potty mouth. I know. Oh, go on, man. Are we on? We're on. All right. It's time for today in Carver High history.
It certainly is. Let's start in 1960 today. Elgin Baylor of the Lakers. How about a 71 piece against the Knicks on this day in 1960, a record at the time. 64, Len Dawson of the Chiefs. He fumbled seven times in a 28-14 loss to the Chargers, all because he saw Pharrell's pants in the pregame. That's why Dawson fumbled seven times. 67,
like
Carl Yastrzemski. Carl Yastrzemski of the Red Sox wins the AL MVP after taking all but one first-place vote after he won the Triple Crown. 75, Pittsburgh running back Tony Dorsett had his 303 and a tutty sound in a 34-20 win over Notre Dame. 1978. 78, Scotty. Dave Parker wins the NL MVP. That would be Dave Parker of the Pirates. The Buccos getting the hardware back then. 1989, Brett Saberhagen, fourth pitcher ever to win the AL Cy Young twice. He got all the votes except one. 2001, Roger Clemens, Yankees AL Cy Young, won it for the sixth time. 2004, Barry Bonds, NL MVP, seventh time, fourth year in a row. No one has ever even won the award more than three times. Pujols won it in 2005. Jake Peavy won the Cy Young in 07. Barry Bonds, it was a good day for him. Also in 2007, arraigned on five counts of perjury and obstruction of justice. There you go. 2011, Coach K becomes the all-time winningest coach in Division I. Also in 11, Verlander won the Cy Young. He's going to win another one this week. Miggy Cabrera in 2012. Melvin Gordon in 2014. How's 408 yards and four touchdowns? Do we have time?
144 yards in the quarter. You see 238 at the half. Gordon again! Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Wow.
There you go.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No